Hey, you. Yeah, you. Have you heard? 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes Network is an official sponsor of the SplatCon, the first ever Nickelodeon-themed fan convention. And you know what that means, right? You can get all the exclusive updates by listening to the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes podcast and subscribing to our channel right there in the Instagram DMs. But the best part is, you can show your support by using our discount code to grab your tickets for SplatCon taking place in Los Angeles on October 19th and 20th. We'll see you there.
And we're back. This is the 80s, 90s, and 2000s Vibes, the podcast. I'm your host, Matt Corbin. As usual with the fellas, got Lee Boy, got Jamal. Fellas, how y'all feeling today?
Hey, I'm feeling vindicated today, man. Yeah, man. You know, I might have my face on a fake-ass TMZ article out here. How y'all doing, man?
I seen that shit. I was like, yo, what the fuck?
They said Leon said Dan Schneider was a good guy. Come on, man.
Oh, you that famous? They lying on you now? Okay.
Hey, I'm out here now, baby. Look, I'm getting up there. Look, this little documentary.
He's going to be on Cheez-Its next week.
Hell yeah, I would love to be on the side of a Cheez-Its box, man. Hell yeah, put me up there. Lee Boy, Cheez-Its boy.
Yeah, fuck that guy who made that fake TMZ post.
Yeah, which I love too, though, man. This was a hell of a week. I thought it was going to be a little bit slow comparison to what's been going on. Diddy might have took a little backseat this week.
Facts.
See, on the docket today? He's not on the docket, right?
Yeah, for the first time in a couple weeks, yeah.
Shoot, and we still got news. That is a surprise. I'm happy about it.
Yeah. I mean, but I had a long day, man.
I've been no seats, so shout out to Diddy.
Whoa, hold on. Say it again.
I said he's out on parole, biking on a bike with no seat.
Hey, man. Hey. I guess he's like, man, they ain't talking about me in a couple of days. I'll take it. I had a long day, though, man. I've been up since 3:30 this morning getting it. You know what I'm saying? I'm tired as hell. But that don't fucking matter because we got an episode to do. So I'm here and I'm ready to rock.
Hell yeah, we do. And before we do that, let me tell you about something that irritates me. Lord, the pump fakers. Oh, Lord, the clout chasers. Oh, the people that got so much problems and they want the whole world to know that get on the internet and put your face out there. Look, there ain't no reason to even beat around the bush. Fidel last, a.k.a. Nick at 90s, going to try to blast me out talking about I was showing Dan Schneider love and I was trying to be fake friends with Alexa Nicholas and I was doing this and doing that and SplatCon is really scam. Get the fuck out of here, boy. Get the fuck out of here. And now you're going to put out this weak ass apology. Actually, this is a good ass apology. We're going to read just a little bit. I accused SplatCon of being a scam. After a bit of conflict behind the scenes, the company decided to part ways with me. Hell yeah, nigga, you parted ways with your damn self. Skip forward. Putting together an event of this caliber is not easy. Therefore, there's a lot of information I lacked. My demeanor sometimes caused the team to feel uncertain about my involvement. So it was until, nigga, you wasn't doing shit except for putting out some posts. I know your whole life is on Instagram. Everything you do is revolved around Instagram and clout chasing and posting up. You thought I wasn't doing shit behind the scenes. Do you know what I've been doing? Do you know I've been taking care of business while you taking care of the gram, boy? We don't play them goddamn internet games. I am doing what I gotta do, and you guys know I'm a coordinator behind SplatCon. Absolutely not a scam. No reason to even go into that. Y'all know, because y'all got the contract. If you're the guest, we gonna see you up there, and check out the guest list on SplatCon.com. Make sure you use our code Vibes10 or Vibes25. You know, but we off that right now. We back on this boy that made the fan of a fan of everybody, nostalgia, and from the 90s, and Nickelodeon, Mr. Nickelodeon, as he deems himself. Man, instead of I was cloud chasing him for his connections, nigga, I was on Nickelodeon. You Mr. Nickelodeon. You offended everybody on Nickelodeon. God damn, you know what? He's officially out. Documents are signed. Contract is over with. He's making his apologies, making his rounds. And so, you know, I'm happy with that. The same way I was happy with Dan Schneider's apology. We're going to get to another apology very soon. And you know what? I'm a very forgiving person. I'm not here to judge and hold on to grudges. I got what I needed out of the situation. And that's your ass gone, Nick at 90s. So like I was saying, I'm tired of the clout chasers, the pump fakers, apologizing and blasting people and all the bullshit. Boy, get off my fucking dick, nigga.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
I didn't even see that shit. They had to tag me and let me know that you posted about me. I don't give a damn about you. And that's what I told your ass on the phone. So like I was saying, I don't like none of that shit. This is the 80s, 90s, and 2000 Vibes podcast. I am Lee Boy. We gonna have a nice day. Let's get to the shit, fellas.
Yeah, man. You're a little bit more forgiving than me. I'm on that nigga ass till we 80. I might throw a shot at Triboro punk ass randomly this episode. Who knows?
You know what? I just love the chess games because why he thought he was like backing me into a corner with Alexa Nicholas. You talking about I'm faking friendship. She ain't my friend, man. We all doing business. I'm doing business with you. I'm doing business with her. And so if I'm going to contact someone in the best interest of SplatCon, then that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to play the game. I'm going to do what I have to do to get forward in business. This is business. You ain't my friend. And I'm barely friends with any. Y'all know I got a family. I got shit to tend to. It ain't to y'all. So that's just is what it is, fellas.
I respect it. I love it. I'm be honest with you. This is hilarious.
Oh man, it is hilarious. It is because, like I said, it's a game of chess. He out of here. He was playing checkers and trying to blast me out and thought I was gonna beg him to take it down. Nigga, I said, post some more. Put some motherfucking screenshots up, man. Full context. No editing. Don't be cropping. Don't be doing none of that. He had shit else to post, man, except for I was faking. But look who's doing the faking now with your little apology. Let's just move on, man. Unless you got something else to say. I'm done with, bruh.
No, I'm happy you busy at the Lee Boy because you were talking about competitive nature. Clearly, you have one, but these next people, they may not. Question, is the competitive nature in hip-hop gone, fellas? And obviously, I'm asking this because J. Cole, after many people thought he slaughtered Kendrick, he came out and had an apology. Shocked a lot of people in hip-hop. Some people thought, you know, hey, J. Cole, pat on the shoulder because you're taking the high road. Other people obviously thought otherwise. So, fellas, what's your take on both?
Hey, Jamar, you got to start this one. That's your man, right? Cole, that's your go. That's your guy?
Man.
That's your go-to?
I don't know. When niggas came up with the term, you acting real light-skinned? This exactly what the fuck they talking about. I swear to God. When that nigga J. Cole, all right, J. Cole is my favorite rapper, right? Not all time. I say he's my favorite rapper of this generation, right? Well, to be honest, it kind of switch constantly. Sometimes it's Cole, sometimes it's Kendrick, sometimes it's Drake. Like, it go back and forth between those three. When that nigga got on stage and said that shit, my nigga, his overall went from a 97 down to a 92. Like, bro, I don't think he gonna ever be able to say that, bro. Mm-mm-mm. Like, my nigga, why you? And this was annoying me about this generation. We learn some new words, and then we start overusing them, like spirituality, my path, my journey. Toxic. My nigga, what the fuck are you talking about? We just want y'all to rap. Why are you bringing God into it, my big son? I ain't used that term in a while. I'm flabbergasted. I can't believe this nigga. What you bring God into the role? Everybody whoever questioned that you and Kendrick wasn't close. Have y'all ever questioned that?
Never.
Mm-mm. We know y'all friends, bro. We know y'all cool. We know this. Nobody ever said, man, go to Compton and punch that nigga. What the fuck are you talking? We just want you to compete lyrically, bro. For the last 3-4 years, J. Cole been spazzing on shit. So he been basically saying, man, anybody who wanted with me is up. I'm the best rapper. Okay, Kendrick came, dropped a bomb on the game, son. We saying respond lyrically. Then what made it worse, this nigga gonna say, man, whatever you got, I'm gonna take that shit on the chin, do what you do, boy. Like, nigga, what?
He tried to water down the rebuttal, man, already. Look, man.
It was two days, bro. What you mean you can't sleep? Over some rap, nigga? Over some hip hop? You can't sleep.
Look.
Man, go ahead, man. Go ahead.
Look, the track Almost Classic, that apology was tragic, nigga. Oh my God. He tried to. Yeah, that's the part that kills me. Is you gonna come out, you got all the smoke. You was good while you was writing it. You probably got it cleared. You had to work with the producer. You had to work with the label. Y'all was working through the whole project, at least the whole album. You put it out, you know, you're going to try to scar the man's name and his reputation. Talked about his whole career and his whole discography. And now you want to wave the white flag. Come on, bro. I'm not going to say that he was like scared and he couldn't take it, but he just ain't built for it.
He looks scared to me.
To me, and this is the reason why I always kind of shied away from J. Cole's music and just the subtle nature of who he is. Because while Kendrick, you could say it's somewhat similar and they're very thoughtful and thought provoking and they're, you know, under the radar, underground type stuff. But Kendrick has a competitiveness. He has passion behind every bar. J. Cole is missing that passion to me. And this just shows, and you can't stand behind your work. And his career will forever be marred to me. Like, I don't think he could ever get past this. For a person like me, especially somebody that don't like him, it's like, this. We're going to forever bring this up. This is similar to Jada and Will Smith. We just talked about that last episode. Go back. This will forever be a scar on his career because it just shows that, you know, you could dish it, but you can't take it. Or he said he could take it on the chin. Pause. He said that.
No, Diddy.
He said, go ahead, give me your best shot. Super pause. But in general, man, this industry, it has changed a lot. Hip-hop was built on a competitive nature for sure. And what we seen between Jay-Z and Nas, Big and Pac, it's just never going to be the same because the big three, which is now the big two, and that's even questionable. We hear Drake got something coming out. I want to hear that. I want to hear what we got between him and Kendrick.
Y'all heard allegedly Drake don't want to perform with J. Cole right now?
Yeah, right. Damn right.
Mm-hmm. I'm not surprised.
He making both of them look bad, man. Like the whole life.
I wouldn't either. Not right now. It's not good for the brand.
It's not good for the brand. Drake, you know he's super competitive and petty and all that. J. Cole, he's never striked me as a person that won. He hasn't had any beefs, right?
Man, he been hanging around Ari Lennox too much, probably.
He's crying. Now, I just want to throw this out there, though, because Jamal, you made a good point. And, like, yeah, even when I think about it, number one, J. Cole, it'd be different if you or Kendrick Lamar had a rap sheet. Like, if NBA Youngboy and Lil Durk came out and one of them said, they'd be like, I respect it, because allegedly, we at least know about some fist fights. Like, you and Kendrick, like, yeah, probably maybe what? Some aggressive, like, you know what I mean, rock, paper, scissors, but it's like real talk, you know what I mean? I didn't have that nature. It would have been okay, and it was like, it was expected, like, you know what I mean? Even Big and Jay-Z, like, if Big was still alive, I would want to see them, not rap beefing crazy per se, but it's like, even when you listen to the content, like, it's like, it gets personal, but it's only the personal part is the music. It's like, I'm saying your music is trash, but you ain't hearing nothing, you know, more personal than that. Like, yeah, I know you still pee in the bed, like, you know what I mean? Nothing real. So to me, I feel like, yeah, for Cole, it was just like, yeah, for what you saying, if you was a violent guy, yeah. But if not, like you said, it just sounded like you was using a lot of what I call buzzwords.
This nigga talking about, bro, stop bringing God and shit, man. God didn't tell you to fucking become a rapper.
I know he did.
I got a clip from Charlamagne Donkey of the Day. Because he gave everybody donkey of the day for one for being mad at J. Cole for not competing. Yeah. And I swear, this is one of Charlamagne's worst takes ever, bro. I can't believe this nigga, of all people, was saying this shit, bro.
I gotta hear this, because he gonna give the people donkey of the day for our reaction off this pump fake. Come on, man. Come on.
Non-violent guys.
Right. And I like that. I like that point as well, because we didn't expect you guys to get into any type of physical altercations. This is supposed to be a sport, a lyrical battle, and that we want to see. It ain't nothing more than that. It ain't that serious, Cole, man. Let me hear what Charlamagne had to say.
All right. This is Charlamagne and God a couple days ago at Breakfast Club. Well, listen to this fucking nigga, man.
donkey the other day. What is it?
I'm a donkey.
Say it again, Charlamagne.
I'm a donkey.
Yeah. This nigga is tripping, bro.
You are a donkey.
So I'll show you how to act a donkey.
Everything that Charlamagne is saying is true.
Donkey of the Day for Monday, April 8th goes to all of you that are disappointed that J. Cole apologized to Kendrick Lamar. If you haven't been paying attention because you've grown as hell, got a family, and don't give a damn what these rappers be talking about, let me give you a quick refresher. Kendrick decided to give a few bars to J. Cole and Drake on Metro Boomin and Future Song Like That. Do we have some clips of that, Red?
Mother F the Big Three.
It's just Big Me.
Okay. Now, this past Friday, J. Cole decided to respond when he dropped a surprise project called Might Delete Later. And on his 7-minute drill, he threw some shot back, threw some shots back at Kendrick. Let's listen.
But fell off like the Simpsons. Your first bitch was classic. Your last bitch was tragic.
Let the record show, when I heard that last week, I immediately said to myself, J. Cole needs to delete that now. Don't wait until later. Okay, I told people J. Cole sounded like he didn't even believe what he was saying about Kendrick. He said Kendrick fell off like The Simpsons. The Simpsons been on for 35 years.
Yeah.
Right? The Simpsons has fell
off, the top
though.
Of the game. He sounded like he had a gun to his head and he was being forced to read a bunch of stupid-ass rhetoric that he got from social media and YouTube videos, because if it's one thing you cannot go at Kung Fu Kenny for, it's his music. That's all Kendrick stands on. That's his business, the music. He is in the business of making classic, timeless music that even if you don't get in the moment, it will be there waiting for you when you catch up. So not only did I think Cole's response was weak, I just knew he didn't believe anything he was saying. And all of that was confirmed for me last night at the Dreamville Festival when Cole decided to apologize to Kendrick Lamar. Let's listen.
In my spirit of trying to like get this music out, I moved in a way that was that I feel spiritually feel bad on me. Like I try to like jab my back and I try to keep it friendly. When I listen to it and when it comes out and I see the talk,
weak,
that
huh?
don't sit right with my spirit. That make me feel, that disrupts my fucking peace. So what I want to say right here tonight is in the midst of me doing that and in that trying to find a little angle and downplay this catalog and his greatness, I just want to come up here and be like, publicly be like, bruh, that was the lamest, like goofiest. And it make, I say all that to say, it made me feel like 10 years ago when I was moving incorrectly. Mm. And I pray that God align me back up on my purpose and on my path. Mm. You know
the
what I mean? I pray
that
my
really didn't
feel no way. And if he did, my got my chin out. Take your best shot. I'm going to take that on the chin, boy. Do what you do.
I know.
And I pray that, you know, I pray that y'all are like forgiving for like the misstep. And then I can get back to my true path. Because I ain't going to lie to y'all. Past 2 days felt terrible. Like, and let me know how good I've been sleeping for the past 10 years.
That's right. I have feelings as a man, feelings as a hip-hop fan. The hip-hop fan in me isn't disappointed because in life you have to pick your battles, and you have to pick your battles carefully because danger comes from trying to surpass your limits. Cole, no, he didn't really want it with Kendrick. So if you don't really want it with a person, then you are pushing yourself past the limit you aren't willing to go, and that's usually when you end up getting hurt. Not to mention, Cole said something very important in that apology. He said it didn't sit right with his spirit. You must always listen to your spirit. And Cole, the reason your Kendrick diss didn't sit right in your spirit was because you knew you was lying, okay? You knew you didn't feel like that about Kendrick's music. You are an artist, a true MC, so there is not too many people who appreciate what Kendrick Lamar does as much as you do. Kendrick Lamar don't need to be a part of every algorithm on social media because Kendrick isn't a surfer, he's a wave. There is a difference. A lot of y'all are just surfers. You get online every day looking for a new wave to ride. Kendrick, when he drops projects, creates those waves that people ride. Period. Good Kid, Mad City. Classic album. We know this. The Pimp a Butterfly. My favorite Kendrick Lamar album. That album is Blackity Black Black. If you ask me, Kendrick re-ushered in a black renaissance in music with that album. But that's a discussion for another day. Damn is a great project. I don't know if I have it as classic status. But Cole, you classic. Said that's his prime. You said that was his peak. So if that's the case, then you think that's his best body of work. So that's three classic albums we discussing. And then Mr. Morale and the Big Steppers. I told y'all months ago in the future, we are going to look at that in Jay-Z's 444 as two of the most important hip-hop albums of all time. And you know when that's going to come? When you unhealed heathens get some healing. When you men grow up.
That
and that's
word.
What we're here to talk about today.
Oh,
the rap fan in me understands the disappointment many of you feeling, Cole. But the man in me who understands that I'm a spiritual being living a human existence has nothing but respect for what J. Cole did. See, so many of us lead with pride and ego nowadays, and we let these idiots on social media who we don't even know peer pressure us to say things and do things that we don't even want to do. It takes a real human to check himself and say, man, what I'm doing, I don't even believe. I don't even believe in. I don't believe what I said. I don't even believe in what I did. apologize and keep it moving. Y'all want a man to attack a man for your entertainment because we are a culture that feeds off conflict. We just have to have some conflict to feast on. We like to see people at war with each other because so many of us are at war with ourselves. It's really that simple. Really that simple. Okay, unhealed people hurt people.
And Charlamagne, shut up, bro.
Hey, man. Hey, but look, now, I do disagree with the donkey that they're going to the people and his overall synopsis, right? But he did have a lot of truth in there. Cole knew he was lying when he was talking about K-Dot's music. He probably one of Kendrick's biggest fans, and he set it up there on that stage. He one of the greatest artists to do it. So in that instance, that's where Cole really lost, is by admitting that your adversary is, I think he kind of said he was better than him. That's just my personal opinion and what I deducted from the whole situation, because I don't think K-Dot's going to ever get up there and say that about Cole, Drake, none of them. So he's a big loss.
But this is the thing, and this is what pissed me off, but this will also make Charlamagne great. Nigga, you of all people, Charlamagne, can't talk about nobody being healed, my nigga. So just because I want to see them compete rap-wise, I'm unhealed? Who the fuck said they want to see some drama? What do you want to hear? But what's pissing me off about that, y'all, is he know that. He knows that. Come on, bro. Charlamagne is not a very smart man. What the fuck are you talking about, healed, nigga? You a little too healed. How about that?
And after this, this was like the first time I seen my group chat with the homies, like the day one homies, jumping about rap in a while. Like we was talking about J. Cole did this. Some people was on J. Cole team. I'm definitely biased towards K.
I can't defend them. I can't defend them.
What we wanted to see, though. Like you said, it's not about the violence. This is about uplifting hip hop because it's been watered down. There's been a bunch of bullshit, horrible singles, horrible albums. And this is what the people want to see, some meaningful rap, some meaningful competition. And J. Cole just stole it away from us in 2 days. You couldn't have left it there, man, for 3 months and like get a couple records out of this and then apologize. You already done put it out.
It's worth an album sales.
And then it's aptly named Might Delete Letter. He had to delete that shit now. He put it out. Might Delete right now as soon as you see this shit was the real name. God damn. Come on, Cole. Stole the whole battle away from us. But you know what? Drake, Kendrick, right there to reignite it, hopefully. Hopefully they can go ahead and just bring it back, because I can't believe what Cole just did to us, man. He just pump faked his way out the whole
season. I ain't gonna never let this shit go. Nah, like, bro. And bro, like I said, Charlamagne know what he's doing, man. You know what the fuck people mean. I have not heard no podcast, no platform, nobody on the internet say they want the two niggas to fight. Or even Drake and Kendrick. So what are you talking about, man? Stop using healed and therapy all the fucking time, bro. If this is what healed Charlamagne is, then he sucked, man. I want the old Charlamagne back. Because the old Charlamagne would have been like, man, what the fuck you on, J. Cole? Rap.
I mean, look at athletes every day. Are they unhealed because they're competing for the championship?
Exactly.
You think LeBron is having some untapped emotions because he want to beat Steph Curry in a competition on a nightly? No, yeah. This is what they do.
People, pussy asses, and all type of others. You know what I mean? It's like, is he a bad unhealed? Is his spirit unsettled? No,
he might be unhealed, bro. He was trying to eat the Cheerios. What do you call Lala? Tastes like honey nut. Yeah, he crazy.
I rocks with Melo. He mentioned on his podcast recently, so I was trying to leave it alone. But yeah, that was a wild one too.
Man, J. Cole, bro, I don't care how fire the fall off is. I don't want to hear nothing from your ass for the rest of the year. I need to heal. I can't believe you let me down like that, my nigga. That's what I need to heal from. My favorite rapper being a bitch. You ever went out with one of your homies before and you find out in real time that he's a bitch? Something pop off or something happened and you be like, oh shit, he a bitch. But you didn't notice. No, but you didn't notice because y'all never really been in an environment where that's tested. Right. That's how I feel. Like, I'm hurt, bro. I can't believe this nigga, man. Like, dog, go make a gospel album, bro. If that's what you want. Jermaine, Cole, the fuck, man? Like, son. But man, that was a sad day in hip-hop. Bro, nobody give a fuck about that hill shit, nigga. Just miss some bars. Then go, nigga, like Sage one time, and all of a sudden, oh my God, bro.
Now, he gotta apologize now for the apology. You gotta get back out there on the stage and be like, you know what, I was wrong about being wrong. Put that shit back out. We need another disc, bro. Come on, that's the only way we gonna get you back, bro.
And apparently he on stage for getting lines now.
Yeah.
Y'all heard that? His overall went down. You was 97 before you did. Now you're 92. Your overall, you forgetting lyrics now, my nigga? Like, this nigga, him, J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake, they were like the soundtrack of my college years, bro. Take Care came out, I was a freshman in college. Then came Good Kid, Mad City. Then came Cold, Born Sinner. If you read this, not if you read this, it's too late. What's the one between Take Care and If You Read This It's Too Late? Nothing Was the Same. Bro, son, Cold, bro. You wild, son. I ain't gonna never let this shit go.
We'll say this. Okay. As bad as this one was, like you said, you know, the people never going to agree. We're going to see, fellas. I do want to know, what do you think is then the best rap beef of all time?
Jay-Z and Nas.
Agreed.
Without violence, Jay-Z without and Nas. Violence,
because we, you know what I mean?
Yeah, bro, because they kept it straight to rap. Even though it started off, it probably was a personal shit. It's always behind women, bro. It's always behind, because Nas' baby mama did an interview with Vlad, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, bro. I think it started off. What do y'all think? And what's the real problem between Jay-Z and Nas? Was it just competitive rap? Were they just competing, or was it just some other shit, some personal shit?
I think they both lived a certain way at that time, so naturally, like stuff like women, you know what I mean, cross paths and stuff like that. I think it started as rap, because I think they was once upon a time cordial and friendly, probably, and then it just, you know what I mean. It turned into competition.
Yeah, man. I think, you know, in New York, we just see that people are always trying to get that number one spot. Being the king of New York has always been, you know, a coveted title. That so much so that people, Kendrick said he was the king of New York. People outside of New York trying to be the king of New York. And so I think, you know, Jay just wanted that title all for himself, seeing Nas in the way. And then of course they got the whole baby mama thing, but yeah, definitely ego, and them wanting to put away the critics for themselves, I believe, has a big part. But you know what? One of my favorite goddamn disses or rap beefs. I do believe that is the best though. Jay-Z and Nas, probably one of the, obviously Tupac and Big will probably be the most publicized. Jay-Z and Nas actually gave us the tracks, the lyrics, the back and forth for years, all the shit that we wanted. But some of my favorites, though, Jadakiss and Beans. Jadakiss and Beans. Now, that was a heavyweight battle. I am. You
know some of those diss records by word to this day.
Yeah, J-A-D-A. We got beef with the feds and the D-A. You know, and I love Beans at the time. I love the grittiness and the ability to freestyle and get out the whole diss on.
It almost got violent though, right?
At Hot 97.
It almost did. But when it was music, as far as, you know, on wax, it was elite. Like both sides, you know, everybody coming
out. Have the sun kiss like a soda out here.
How y'all feel about
Great? I feel like they got a little perk. That's still going on, right?
You know, it's funny.
Is it?
T mentioned that this Drake thing came out, that somebody's like, man, it's funny after all this time, you know, Pusha T ain't never get touched. And Pusha T had like quote tweeted it saying, not one time, like with the laughing emoji. So it's like one of those things where I don't know. You know what I mean? I've heard him also in interviews, though, say he's banned from Canada. So who knows?
I'm to the six.
I'm a big Pusha T fan. Love the last album. Was it, what is it, Infrared?
Infrared.
amazing album, cut right to the, you know, how you guys say, I want 10, 11 tracks. He cut right to it. No fillers on the entire album. And then, of course, it has one of the Drake disses, doesn't have the story added on. I can't say it's one of the top just because, you know, I think Drake's response was insufficient. And he did the right thing, though, in this case. I do believe that sometimes you should not respond to certain people. Like, for example, all this shit that I just went through, me validating that with the response publicly. Obviously, I want people to come over to the pod. But validating with a response publicly will just put him on a platform and legitimize Nick at 90s. And that's not something that I wanted to do. And then, you know, so while Pusha T, he's going to get, you know, a couple stragglers, some people that's going to feel it. And ultimately, it never even really scratched the surface on Drake and his ability to get with his audience. But yeah, man, I mean, it's Jay-Z and Nas. It's Jay-Z and Nas. It's probably the best.
And I still think they got something between them, but it ain't gonna never. It's never gonna be beef again. But I just think they're naturally competitive with each other, just like earlier in the early 2090s, Jay-Z and DMX. I just think it's gonna always be something between them, like
as it should. Yeah. I don't want everyone to be chummy and like. I like to hear a little bit of subliminals, but I also like to hear some directs. But, you know, there is another one out there, too, that was crazy. That Jeezy and Gucci. You know,
that's not violent. I was born up with that.
Yeah, that was violent. I was nervous as hell watching their verses. I'm like, oh, shit. Yeah, man, y'all chill out, man.
The verses is wild. I mean, another notable, obviously, was 50 Cent Ja Rule. That definitely could be in contention just because of the tracks that we got from it specifically.
And that's another one. Now, Jamal, you know, when you was talking about Tribal, you round down on them, he's 80. 50 Cent and Ja Rule, they'll be in wheelchairs with canes swinging on each other. I can see.
Facts. And that wasn't no rap beef. That was a street beef that just so happened to turn
to be because they,
right. They turned into rappers. Yeah, 50 got, man, niggas got killed, shot at, stabbed over that, man. And in a perfect world, I would love to see them do it versus, but man, that ain't gonna never happen. That ain't gonna never happen, man.
You have to do that at AI, maybe one day.
Facts.
Man, but yeah, there's been, you know, it is sad though. It is sad, and just get to back to the J. Cole thing, and, you know, because we've seen so many classic rap beefs and tracks, like from, you could say, The Game, T.I., all these people have been battle tested and really put themselves out there. Ice Cube, obviously, you know, Common, he went up against Common, he went up against N.W.A. You got 50 Cent, all the things that he did. Meek Mill hopped in the ring. Come on, J. Cole, man.
This nigga led Common, who is a conscious rapper, he went at fucking Ice Cube.
Right, he didn't bow down and be like, this wasn't my spirit. I wasn't feeling it. He didn't do none of that shit.
Man, what the fuck, man? He understood. I think that was a cop-out at the end of the day. You know what I mean? And that's why this is going to be one of the most infamous non-beefs, if you will.
Bro, this works than losing. I'd rather him go at, they go at each other and he lose instead of this shit.
This is like
he really quit.
Right before you start the race, like somehow he stepped over the line.
But what makes it worse, if he would have just said, if he heard Kendrick's diss and said, I'm good, I ain't gonna respond, that's one thing. But that's like you hit a nigga, you see that he ain't move, he ain't budge, bro. I'm good, we good.
Fuck that. It's too late, bro.
Nah, bro, you can't hit me and then run and be like, hey, I didn't know. I wasn't really feeling my spirit. We don't got to fight, bro. We all God's children out here. Fuck, no. Nah. You just hit me upside my head with a brick. You seen it didn't move me at all. And you seen the responses. He got to see the responses. People was in his comments. Kendrick's one of the best rappers. He came out and said he has one of the best catalogs. You know you was wrong going at Kendrick catalog, Capriccio catalog. Come on, man. That was some... Oh, man. I ain't going to call him pussy.
Cold.
That was some pussy shit, though.
Cole, do a collab album, Kirk Franklin, Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, and DJ Khaled.
Right. I don't want to hear all that yelling, but the rest of them is cool.
No, Khaled, keep it positive. We need some more positive. He needs some positivity around him. Keep him up.
Nah, hey, right. J. Cole, man. My brother and them probably need you at their church this Sunday to perform. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So I'm like, since you a gospel rapper now.
Hey, don't forget Chance. Man. Yeah. Him and Chance should just do a whole collab album. That's the one. Hey, right there.
We're going to see what comes of this, though, fellas. Like I said, we still see, the Mike Lee later title. But I do want to move on, though, to some possible NBA, and that's Bronny James. As you both may have known, Bronny James, he did something unprecedented as he entered the transfer portal, declared for the NBA draft, and still has his college eligibility to return in the event that he goes undrafted. Fellas, do you think this is a good or bad decision, one? And two, do you think he'll be drafted? And if so, where?
I told y'all. He coming to the South Bay Lakers. Look, it ain't it ain't no way around
South Bay Lakers. God,
I was talking about he was going, well, not y'all, just in general. People, thought he's going to stay in the second year, develop his game. And no, we don't want him under the shadows of LeBron. I believe, he's playing this as a PR stunt just to make himself look good. Like, yeah, he wants to put in the work and he wants to earn his way to the NBA when he's going to use nepotism and get on them South Bay Lakers, work his way up to the LA Lakers midseason next year. And this is also, a hope for me. Because I do believe that will keep LeBron with us until his 23rd season, just to, put it in the face of Jordan. I lasted 23 years. Hopefully he get himself another championship as well. But, I think the Lakers, they're fully invested in Bron. Right now, if they were to lose Bron, the viewership, the notoriety, the spotlight on the Lakers is going to severely diminished. Anthony Davis does not have the star power to carry the team, although I believe he does have some great talent. Obviously, we know that. And we got some decent pieces around us. Need some better. But Lakers, our front office ain't chump. We know what it takes to keep Bron. We know he's a Hall of Famer. We want him to retire a Laker. We want to get his statue in front of that damn building. And if we got to get Bronny James on the SB Lakers, if y'all don't watch the local games, y'all be by some be like, what is SBLK? That's the South Bay. $20 a game. We gonna be up there. You know what the sellout tickets is gonna be like that? You know what the ticket price is gonna do with Bronny and LeBron's gonna be at the South Bay games, boy. This is money. This is money right now. He ain't transferring. He ain't transferring. That was clout. You think he's going to transfer? Tell me this.
I don't know if he's ready or not for the NBA. Only reason why I'm saying that is because I don't know how good he is. The reason why I don't know how good he is because he didn't play, he didn't start, and he's not that aggressive. Even when he was in high school, he wasn't that aggressive. Do y'all see the – are y'all seeing the same thing I'm seeing watching him play?
Specifically offensively, he has more – better of a defensive intuition.
I don't think that's a problem, though, because, again,
he's not
6'8". He's 6'3", and I think him coming in as defensive piece as an okay shooter, I actually think he'll be okay in the NBA. I don't think he's going to be like a lottery pick. He'll probably be like –
he's not aggressive offensively.
He doesn't have to be. PJ Tucker don't even shoot and be out there 40 minutes.
Oh, man, we compare him.
That's who he's going to be.
No, no, but I'm just saying, right? He's going to come in and probably be, the 48th pick?
I see him directly as Gary Payton Jr. That's who I see him getting a couple blocks off the, off the weak side defense, maybe catching a couple lobs, getting wide open and hitting some shots, and that's, and putting in some minutes, at least for the next 3-4 years. Now, he might develop his game because he's going to have the best trainers. He's going to have his father right there as the best mentor. I don't think that he's definitely not going to be an NBA star. I don't think he ever will, to be honest. I don't think so. So I don't have high expectations for him. I honestly just believe that it's LeBron and his dream to have him in the NBA. Like, who wouldn't want to? It doesn't mean that he's going to be great. Like, I mean, look at Scottie Pippen Jr. He's not
going to live up to his dad's hype. Like, let's just stop it.
No, he's not. It's going to be, it's going to be rough on him. I think he'll probably do a couple years. I don't think it'll be a long-term career or anything like that. I see him, as I said, Gary Payton Jr., but also a Scottie Pippen Jr., just kind of there and to take up some minutes and, and get on with the show. Like,
I ain't gonna lie, I think he'll develop. I feel like he could be a solid, like I said, defensive piece that can develop into a solid shooter. Because remember, we see it. These games is going to 150 points, and everybody, that's really what they're doing. It's stop and pop. It's, you know what I mean? Pick and pop. So it is what it is. That's why I'm like, realistic. I think right now, yeah, if you grab him with like a 46, 47 pick, it's not a bad look. Because you can have him on a two-way contract now this year. You could lure LeBron, who's going to be a free agent, I believe, this offseason regardless, right? So even if it's not the Lakers, which, yeah, if I'm the Lakers, as much as I would like to see LeBron retire too, it's like, you don't want to necessarily gamble your future. Because, like, yeah, this guy is in year 21. Like, let's be realistic about it. Like, I don't care what you say. His feet probably – he probably don't even got toes on his feet no more. It's probably just a base. So.
Yeah. Whoever I don't know. Whoever does decide to take a chance on Bronny James is going to be, in, you know, highly in favor to grab LeBron, possibly. It just depends on where he gets drafted.
If he does transfer somewhere, like what school do y'all see him transferring to?
You gotta hit Duke. You gotta hit something big. You gotta make a splash. Yeah, or Ohio State would be dope.
Ohio State would make sense, but right, it doesn't make sense to me in the same sense. It's like, well, these are bigger programs with bigger names. You didn't play much this place. It's like, not to say you can't play here, but it's like you're gonna have your
USC is a football school. So yeah, Ohio State and a school like that, they good in both sports. So, yeah, I don't know. I would love for him to come to LSU, but of course, I would love him to come to LSU. You dig what I'm saying? But I don't think that's going
to
happen.
He's taking his ass to UCLA across the city, but I think I honestly think that this is just all a marketing ploy to make itself look like he's going to stay and possibly, you know, get people off drafting him early so that the Lakers have a chance. And I just, you know, that's just me being hopeful as a Laker fan.
Well, I would draft him early. I'll say that. I don't think any team has him like, oh, yeah, he's going to be a lottery pick. It's like, unless you're a team who has like a bunch of draft picks like an OKC, but again, they don't need him. They clearly have the butt. Other than that, yeah, I don't see any team who would say, I want to take him top 20. I'd be very surprised. I'd be happy for him, but I'd be very surprised.
I'd be surprised too. I don't think he'll be a top 20 at all. In fact, you know, it's gonna be interesting because it obviously depends on where the Lake Show picks. They're gonna be late rounds, for definitely first round and second round. So we'll see, man. But it helps that he didn't have a great career, and the Lakers, they're not gonna be expecting much out of the draft anyway. That's not really how they operate, in my opinion. They kind of make trades towards getting the pieces that they have. And so, you know, they might even trade up or down to get Bronny and just look at it as a investment. It's literally whoever gets him, though, it's tickets, it's marketing, and it's going to be a big time show for the league wherever he lands. So even if he's hardly playing, I do believe it's smart for organization to get him up under there, because Bron might be there to follow. He might, like, say he gets on the Magic. Couple years, LeBron retires, and he's still up there. Bron might become an executive there. He might be part of the team. He could be on the coaching staff. You never know. So it just only makes sense. Or he's going to be attending games at the very least. He's going to be front row. All of that sells tickets. So, you know, I just think it makes sense for anybody to draft him this year. Don't even worry about going in the transfer portal, young man. Just go ahead and bow out. Hit that league.
Man, I'm interested to see what's going to happen. So I'm going to be tuned in. Like I said, I don't know how good he is. I can't say that he's not ready because he's not aggressive. So I'm interested to see how it play out.
He got the he has the athleticism. I just think he hasn't played enough ball against, you know, real competitors. But
I think by default, the level that most of us, even if we're not doing it, you know, consciously, subconsciously, we putting him at a certain tier that it's like he's expected to be at. And it's like, no, he's not there at that tier. However, he is still an NBA player. He's not a top NBA player per se, right? Like a lot of, you know, NBA players' sons, like whatnot. I know Kenyon Martin Jr. and even Scottie Pippen Jr. and whatnot. It's like when you see them get into the league, yeah, you there's a watchful eye of, okay, where are you compared to your dad? Like I know there's like videos online that do it. So to me, I just think it's one of those things we got to acknowledge. LeBron James.
I ain't going to lie. For a while earlier in this career, I thought Tim Hardaway Jr. was going to turn into an all-star when he's with the Knicks. Fire.
As big as he is, I mean, he's bigger than his pops. Yeah, and look,
yeah, I don't know what happened. I don't know what happened, bro. Early in his career, I was like, oh yeah, he one of them. He might be better. He might be
because he was that big and wasn't necessarily playing defense. That's what hurt him. Because I know with the Knicks, that's what was hurt.
Yeah, he was a scorer, bro. Like, I used to like him.
We need you to guard the other scorer though at 6'6", who's gonna come down and give you the same 30. You know what I mean?
Nah, James Harden know how to do it.
He ain't James Harden.
But I had hope for him. He was giving Josh. He the reason why the Knicks traded Josh Smith,
which in hindsight was foolish.
Oh yeah, because yeah, for Josh, I have Cleveland.
I was really mad at giving up Shumpert at the time too, because he was a defensive specialist.
Yeah.
Now, what y'all think about what y'all think about Bryce chances though, Mr.
Body? I think he gonna be the star.
Mm-hmm. He got the size on him. He got definitely has the fundamentals. If he get any bigger and taller, he gonna be a problem. I think
but that's expected, right? You the third one. You watching your older brother. You watching your Hall of Fame father. You've been around NBA players probably since you was two. Like, yeah, it's like, and then like I said, you also didn't have a heart condition. We like, it's like one of those. We gotta take all of that to for this man to even still be a potential NBA player. I feel like that's good enough. Like, happy I ain't never going to even get to try out. Kudos to him.
I wouldn't want to play basketball. If I was LeBron James, son, you're like, man, you did it, Pop. You got it. I'll be investing in businesses, doing all other stuff. Me personally, but hey, I guess, man. I do think the younger one gonna be a star.
100%. You know, fellas, time will tell. But I do want to move on back to the industry. Main thing we've been talking about a few times over the past few weeks, months, relationships, and the age gap. A lot of people saying in the industry is a problem. Some people say it's not because of the double standard. So, fellas, I want to know, what is your take, for instance, and just to use them, and you know, no disrespect, but I'm Drea and like a Jane Green.
What, she's how old is Drea?
Maybe, what, 45, 50 in that range? Damn.
Now, let's reverse it. Angel Reese, this is hypothetical, right? Angel Reese just got drafted by the Brooklyn Nets. How old is Angel Reese? What, 21? Say for instance, she was dating somebody. Help me,
Tracy Morgan.
Hell no! Come on, dog.
Eddie Murphy.
Right,
Eddie Murphy. They got to be cute.
Hey, yeah. Why you do Tracy like that? He can't pull.
Yeah. Nah.
Hey, he got about $100 million in that truck accident, bro. He could pull some.
Eddie Murphy, right? Okay. Whatever. How do you think society will respond to that? Yeah,
pedophile.
So why isn't
grooming? Grooming.
What? But wait, ain't Teresa a grown woman?
She sure is.
But you've been watching her since she was 17. You seen her.
You seen her grow up, right?
Right.
What's the what the fuck, man? Why is that not a problem? I know Jalen Green is a grown man, but
I think it's family too, right? So I can't speak for everybody, but I'll say in most cases, a father would probably be cool if his son came home and was like, yeah, here's my 50-year-old, you know, girlfriend, as opposed to his daughter coming home with a guy that's his age.
I think that's the problem.
No, it is. But I just think, I don't know what it is that makes them like, but I think that's what it is. The fun is the thought.
Because when I was younger, I have a sister who's 3 years older than me. In hindsight, that's not a big age gap. But when you're 10 and she's 13, it seems like it is. So my sister had a 13-year-old friend, right? I'm 10. She used to think I was so cute. I love that shit. But I'm thinking now as an adult, like, yo, if I was a girl and I had an older brother and his friend, like my older brother's homeboy, I thought, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, he wouldn't be able to come back to the house.
It's predatory, yeah.
Right. So all I'm saying, it's a double standard, bro. It's not, I ain't gonna say it's not wrong, because at the end of the day, Jalen Green is a grown-ass man. He's of age. But all I'm saying is, when it's reversed, society has a problem with it. All I'm saying is, have a problem with it when it's the roles are reversed too, if you're going to have a problem with it.
You know what it is? It's the physicality, right? So even though you may be older, more mature, and have a mental edge, you still don't have a physical edge. So there's like a level of compliance that, you know, the man is going with it. We're on the other level, even though it could be, you know, they could be good with everything and be approving of the relationship. And I'm saying now from a younger woman towards an older man, she's not, although she is good physically, she can't be, she can be overpowered. So there is probably some apprehension there. Whereas on the mental side, though, right, women are already mature faster. They already mature faster. So if you at the same age, you know, a woman's going to be thinking further ahead, what she could get out of you, while a guy's just thinking with his other head and he's trying to get at you and for a certain reason. And you know, that's generalizing, obviously. But I think it is just not, maybe not just as bad. And right here, I'm falling right into it. But you know, these women are definitely plotting on these young brothers. There has to be something to say for that. I don't think it could be genuine. I don't like, and this is just me, my opinion, I don't think it could be genuine love for a 45-year-old to be looking at a 20-year-old man. It's just, you see the dollar signs, you see what they can offer you. Would you be doing that for a man that wasn't a man of means? Maybe. We've seen that for a little bit, but they just using them for sex usually. So you're still also have the mental edge. And you're using him for a certain reason, and it's not love, because you know, you have the mental fortitude to like plan out your life and figure it out. You're thinking on a way bigger level than this guy that's really just trying to get a little nut. You know what I'm saying? I got a baby with Drea. They don't even understand what they're setting themselves up for in the future when she leave your ass and get you for 50,000 a month child support. She didn't take advantage of your ass, brother.
Drea not dating no 21-year-old man that work at Starbucks.
Right.
Not happening. So yeah,
and if she is, it's not serious. It's not going to be public, and it's not going to be, and it's going to be for a specific reason. And you know what I'm saying. Whereas this is also for a specific reason. And if it was the other way around, it just wouldn't fly. Yeah, if they would, the comments. It's like if Zendaya was just dating somebody that was just old, decrepit, and after her money, the comments would be crazy, and they would not allow it. The public would not allow it. But when it goes the other way around, it's women empowerment, and you do your thing, sis. Yeah, they don't let nobody tell you it's never too late. I hate it. It is too late for your old ass.
No, Jamal.
Unless you Drea.
Jamal, they people never, for whatever reason, like no matter what, you could be a man worth $1 billion and pick up the poorest girl in the world, and people going to say, that is cute, that is beautiful, good for her. But like he said, if it's the other way around, it just seems like, yeah, men giving out their money and time and efforts in that way is just more societally accepted. I think even to Lee Boy's point, he was like, yeah, most young men that's trying to mess with quote-unquote a cougar, somebody 40 or 50, the last thing they asking is, where does she work? She could be homeless. But if she got a fat ass, they own that. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's not even a conversation. That's why I like, the whole thing is weird, but I just think we got to change the society. If we're not changing it, we all as a whole are still saying it's cool, it's going to be cool.
And man, you really cool. See this more in our community, don't you?
Right.
I mean, Facts. Do you see this where young men in the dominant society, so Caucasian, right, are getting accosted by 45, 50-year-old women that's trying to get their life back, how Stella got her groove back and staying snatched? Well, first of all, they hardly snatched at 40 and 50 on the other side.
Man.
It's going to be a little bit harder for them to snatch up. But you just don't see white guys going after old ladies. And there's something about the psyche of black men, right, that we get whatever is given to us. We got to take it because of, you know, stereotypes and so on and so ever. We're not worth the best of society. I don't know. That could be me just reaching here, but we shouldn't have to, especially if we're a men of means. We need to be with people our age that can set us up for the future, that can take care of us in our old age. You don't need to be with no old woman. What you gonna do with she 80 years old, man? You gonna be able to take care of her ass. Look at Sharon, AE.
Your prostate is gone. You know what I mean? It just,
why is AE with Cher, right? Because that's all he can, you know, he has to, that's what he has to accept. That's what he has to accept. because of what, for whatever reason, I'm still trying to figure it out. But that, for some reason, it's acceptable in society. And then a lot of this questioning came up because what we just saw with Russell Simmons' daughter, and they done already broke up, right? They was got caught on.
They already broke up?
Yeah. They got caught out with the pictures on vacation. She was giving him a kiss. He was taking pictures of her, fawning after her. And right after he got put out there, he was like, I ain't dealing with this. I was just using her up.
I think her mother found out he ain't have no health insurance. She was like,
I say this all the time. I don't know if I'm built to be a parent.
Because that would, how would you feel, man?
I'm cutting my fucking kids off. You can't come to the house. Or my house gonna be big enough. If you come to the house to see your mother, I ain't gonna see your ass. I understand humans have different ways goes while they kids grow up and live their own life. But come on, like, bro, all these niggas around here your age are vice versa. If I had a son. Like, bro, why are you embarrassing me, bro? Yeah. You embarrassing me. Which you are allowed to do. You just can't bring your ass back over here. That's all I'm saying. You have free will. My job is not to control you. I'm just hoping you use your fucking common sense. You're going to make mistakes, bro. I'm not talking about that. We're not going to agree on everything. I'm not talking about, my nigga, come on. Like, Scottie Pippen's son. I mean, Michael Jordan's son. Like, my nigga, what the fuck are you doing? What are you doing, bro? I'm taking you out the wheel, son.
For real.
And then what make it worse with Michael Jordan's son is he tried to play basketball and was trash. Y'all remember that shit? So you double embarrass me.
God damn.
How your father, the greatest basketball player of all time, and your ass suck. So, all right, you embarrassed me that time. I let that go. Because maybe I was blessed with some abilities that you just don't have. You do have your mother's DNA in you, too. But then you date Scottie Pippen. You engage with Scottie Pippen's ex-wife? Man, if you don't get the fuck out.
Well, all these girls around here, all these beautiful young ladies, man. Are you the heir to the Jordan throne? You don't go get Tyler or somebody, man. Come on, man.
Your ass better go get a job. Cause you out this.
Imagine they got married and he got his last name hyphenated.
Man, bro, I'm getting my security to take that nigga by the back of his shirt. Jordan Pippen.
Marcus Jordan Pippen. But and then to the Russell Simmons thing, and what's funny is about it, she told him too. Dad, if you don't up my allowance, I'm gonna go get me a sugar daddy. And she went.
Oh, you threatening me now?
Allowance, man.
Man, I'm too alpha for that. Oh, you threatening me? I bet. Go do that. Don't come back.
She did too.
I'm about to say I'd have cut off everything. It'd be like, oh, I'm not giving you enough. Bet. Let me take back my enough.
Yeah, bro.
And then the publicizing of all this stuff, kids got to get their shit in order, man. Like, I don't understand. Like you said, like, it is tough being a father. But then the public shaming and the public scrutiny and just putting out our business in the public. I just think about Kirk Franklin and his son. You ain't gonna punk me, man. You ain't gonna do it. It's a problem. I ain't built for this internet shit. It's going to be hands and feet when I see your ass. I didn't grow your ass up. I grew your ass up. Don't get stomped out of this whole world like they used to say back in the day. I didn't put you in the world. I take your ass out. We need to get
don't come
out the world.
Hey, bro, don't come to the house. Don't come to the house, bro. Don't come to my house.
My problem.
I don't give a damn how mad your mother get. If she feels type of way about it, she can fucking skedaddle too.
That is crazy, but all right.
Man, you get out of here, man.
I'll pull a Brian McKnight
and make a whole nother family. Fuck you niggas, man.
That's serious. That's still funny as shit to me, but that's serious.
Brian McKnight Jr.
Hey, my first family was just for practice, man. I fucked up. My mom made me a new family. A whole fuck family. Out of here, man.
He's always wild, but I respect.
Bro, I'll make a whole nother family, bro. That's my Dallas family. This is my Houston family.
I assume that's why our parents threatened to kill us as kids, because they knew they could always make more.
Yeah, man. Fuck out of here, man. Don't be out here. I work too hard for you to be out there embarrassing me like that.
It's like you trying to disrespect me like the most you possibly can at this point.
It is for attention, though, too. It is because, you know, kids rebel kids, all the time.
Man. No, that's no famous kids, man. Yeah, they fucked up.
This is how famous kids rebel. They just go shame the family name, date somebody ain't got no business dating, you know, just mess up the entire empire. Over some bullshit, man. Just sit your ass down. You don't need to date nobody or have a sugar daddy that bad. You got a Benz, right? You got a mansion. You chill. Like, what the hell you need up out of here? Go start a business or something, man.
Just tell them your name. You could probably get like $20 million for a loan.
Right, go get a loan and start a business. Lord,
man, get the fuck out of my face with your spoiled ass.
Get a business plan out here.
Don't get nothing. If you don't get anything, get out of my face.
Yeah, y'all. Let's just all be consistent when it comes to the men and women. Yeah, if we're gonna say it's
bad, yeah, that's always, man.
That's it. No matter how old.
If it's cool when the ladies do it, let it, man. When the fellas do it, mind your fucking business. That's all we saying.
And if y'all both have no gender, you could date whoever you want. You know what I mean? Do what y'all do. I love everybody.
Yeah, love wins, right?
And remember, even though it's not fit, they might not be physically dominant. Mentally dominant for sure. These women, they got a leg up.
Oh, no, when they're not careful. Women, though, when you know, when both people,
oh, right.
Hey, yeah.
Minus them.
Yeah,
they don't shout out to y'all, too. Exactly. All inclusive,
yeah. Love all of them. Yeah. But, fellas, I want to move on to two other very, very interesting individuals. One of which that some people thought once upon a time may not have identified as anything, one being Prince, and the other in Michael Jackson. Thriller, Purple Rain, fellas, obviously, classic albums, 1984. Y'all know the story. A lot of people for years have compared the two. Some people say, hey, Prince is more talented because he actually played instruments. Some people look at Michael and they say he's better. Of the two albums, which one do you think is better?
What y'all think of that take? Do that take have any weight? Like, I don't give a fuck about no instruments. But I'm not an instrument player. Maybe that's why.
I mean, I think it could be a factor. It could be. Right. And so, like, you hear in the Beyonce versus Taylor Swift, oh, she writes and she don't. But then, you know, you got to also, if you're going to add in all these extra layers, what about dancing? What about the vision that it took to put together them videos that Mike had in composing and arranging his own tours and all that? So we got to add in everything. You don't add in everything. And it's not just music. You know, let's make sure that all the sliders are in there. But, now, I mean, so we comparing the albums or we comparing the talent?
Just those two albums. Yeah, Thriller versus Purple Rain. Which one you choose?
Ooh, and you know, this is a good, I like this as a battle, as a versus, because they both have a great visual element as well. Obviously, if you've seen the Purple Rain movie, people love it. I loved it. I thought it was great. And then Thriller, just what he did with the music video, people also deemed it as damn near a movie and one of the most cinematic music videos of all time. You know, I'm pretty biased on this one. And I will say that I think it's Thriller. I mean, I do think it's Thriller to me, with the edge. I don't think that it's like that vast or that crazy. I don't even think Thriller to me is Mike Jack's best album, where I do think Purple Rain is probably Prince's best body of work.
What you think, what's Michael Jackson's best album to you?
I mean, what's the main one? My bad. I'm having a blank right now.
Off the wall. His very first. Really?
That's not his first though.
His first is.
It's known as his first. I think Off the Wall is the best because I just think that it just gets straight to it. It kind of introduces him as an artist. And then even more than that, I just, you know what it is? I never really thought Thriller was one of his best songs either. I like the album, and I like the video, But that's just not a top song to me. I don't put on Thriller when I'm trying to hear Mike Jack. You know what I'm saying? Facts, like facts. I like.
Bad. Oh, maybe around Halloween. You
right, know what right. I mean? And so for that to be the title song, and the main driver of the album, that's kind of what kind of downgrades it for me. But I think even Bad has a lot of hits on there. In comparison, and a lot bigger music videos. I mean, not than Thriller, but compared to the rest of Thriller, I don't think as a body of work it's his best. But obviously, Thriller is just a high peak that puts it up there. But I personally like Off the Wall. But I would say Thriller, just because I am Mike Jack, biased for sure. I love Prince's that specific album. I love When Doves Cry. That shit go hard, Little Red Corvette, you know what I'm saying? That shit go, he got some, now it's close. It ain't, to me, it's not a big gap. You could go either way with this. I wouldn't be mad at you.
I've never been a huge Prince fan. So of course I'm choosing Thriller. Thriller probably the greatest album of all time. I do agree with you though, Lee Boy. Bad is not far from Thriller. I think Bad got just as many hits as Thriller. And honestly, I think I listen to Bad more than I listen to Thriller, me personally. Purple Rain movie wasn't all that to me. I'm going to go ahead and say it. It was cool. The Michael Jackson mini movie for Thriller, I felt like if they would have added an extra 15 minutes to it, it would have been a better movie than Purple Rain. What's the point of Purple Rain? Like the movie?
It's just to make Prince a bigger star. I think it's really just to put him on the map and probably to compete with Michael Jackson in his videos, I think.
Right.
I never knew if there was a deeper purpose. I thought, Lee Boy, I thought you knew. I was like, where? What's the purpose?
Nah, it's just to make him, put him up there in the echelon with Mike and his visuals. And because really it's just a compilation of the music, and then they just throw a little weak story around it. But it's just to put the spotlight on Prince, because he's not that big of a personality outside of his music. So they needed that extra level of visual visibility, probably very induced by the labels. And they just wanted to have a big marketing piece around there, which, it worked. Purple Rain is a huge, time in music for sure.
Yeah, I rewatched it like a month ago. The movie, and I was like, I'm being honest. The Purple Rain, I was like, what's the point? It just seemed like Purple Rain, the movie, seemed like Prince being himself.
He is.
That's the movie, right?
But the music is what makes it, and they just, it's funny, it is a little bit, you could see the influence that Beyonce had after that, right? Where she just made a whole project. Like, if you ask what was Beyonce's movie called? The Lemonade movie. There's no point to the movie. Same thing with the whole Afrobeats movie. There's really nothing there other than it's the soundtrack to the album. And they found a way to put it all together and make it just another piece of content. It's just content. It's just content.
Yeah, I don't think I'm gonna rewatch that movie.
But if we was talking about the bad, if we was talking about the bad track list, you got obviously Bad, The Way You Make Me Feel, Another Part of Me, Man in the Mirror, I Just Can't Stop Loving You, Dirty Diana, Smooth Criminal, Leave Me Alone on that shit got some hits.
Bad a classic.
And then, so I think that is definitely one that I always put up there. I always like kind of origin tracks though, which is why I rock with his first one. But if you go with what Thriller, goddamn, looking at it, Wanna Be Starting Some is hot. Thriller, Beat It, Billie Jean, Human Nature. Now that's one of my favorite Mike songs. Human Nature, that shit go hard. And then you got PYT. It's close. He got about 6-7 classics on there. But yeah, it to me it's Thriller. Looking at the track, that's Thriller.
I'm gonna go ahead and say it. The Purple Rain movie overrated.
No, I was just gonna say, even for me, I will say this, came into Michael Jackson first as far as knowing the music. So I went back and listened to Prince as an adult. And it was like, like, you know, like Jamal said, it was cool, but I definitely get a movie. It was just one of those, yeah, I don't necessarily understand the overall premise behind it. And I just think, to me, Michael Jackson, again, I think was more of the biggest star. And like his personality, like even like the dancing, I feel like it was like, yeah, Prince, the instrumentation and whatnot, as big as it was, I feel like you should have made that a thing. Because it's like, once upon a time, the Dizzy Gillespies and the, you know what I mean? They was going crazy with their instruments. The instruments is flying around and whatnot. Like, I feel like if that would have been his thing, it should have been, because it was like, that's where your real skill was. Whereas Michael Jackson was electric. And yeah, to me, I think Thriller, realistically, yeah, there's really no skips on there. When you did mention the list in the bad, I'm like, okay, I could definitely see the closeness. But I'll say this, Jamal, as far as a Thriller, I actually think them making it a short film was perfect. Because it was one of those things that's like, yeah, it's just really like even like that soundtrack part, but this was like a soundtrack where it was perfect. Like, you know what I mean? As you watch the zombies dance, you saw everything going on, even the mood, like, as you know what I mean? They leave and it's like, you know, you as the viewer, you realize like, yeah, I saw something that they didn't see. I'm the viewer at home. It's something exclusive. So definitely Thriller for me.
Yeah, and like I said, I think you just gotta be a person who's like, who like instruments, like, and shit. I don't really care for that. Even I respect it, but I like watching niggas dance, like Michael Jackson, James Brown. Like, you feel me? Like, the instruments, that's cool, that's dope that you can play all of them, but that's not enough to get me to come listen, like, watch your show or listen to your music, right? Michael Jackson dancing, bro, like. That's what took Michael Jackson over the top. That's what put him over the top, is the dance.
Yeah, way over the top. Oh, way over the top. You know, a lot of people like, I will say I like Prince's, the range in his voice, though. So he could do a lot of things with his voice, maybe even beyond Mike. Where Mike, he just had a better ear for pop music, popular music. Like, for instance, there's some songs that I just don't like from Prince. Like, Let's Go Crazy. Like, people love that shit. It just sounds childish and dumb to me. Like, I don't know. It just sounds stupid. But so I just like, I like Michael Jackson's ear for music, and also the way he shaped the culture, moved everything forward, and ushered people into a whole new era of dance, song production, music videos. He was really at the forefront. And a lot of those moves he was hitting,
yeah,
and they created hip hop dance, man.
His music videos are more iconic too.
Way,
like y'all said, yeah. So Mike for the dub.
Shout out to Prince though, and rest in peace. And you know, we'd be remiss to say, you know, that this topic was somewhat inspired by Prince, nigga. Prince live, outlive Mike Jack, nigga. Boom.
Yeah.
Did you think he Prince or something? He thought he was doing something with that one.
It makes sense. It do make sense.
But he didn't know he was calling Drake Mike Jack, though, right? That's what he's alluded to, right?
That is true. That's
he
true.
Also said he gonna kill Mike Jack. That's also what he was alluding to. So let's find out in the next round who gonna
kill. But y'all let us know. If y'all listening to this, yeah, y'all let us know what y'all thinking. Thriller, Purple Rain, Be Heard. I have a decision, I have an opinion. But fellas, I also want to still keep your music though, moving on to the next topic. If you had to think about it, I'm assuming y'all talking about all music. We're talking about rap, R&B, rock and roll, throwing it all together, correct?
Yeah, let's do pop culture in general.
Pop culture in general. Who would you say is your all-time big three?
Michael Jackson, Tupac. I can't think of a third one.
Yeah, you can. It's Beyonce. It's right there.
The reason why is because do y'all kind of put Michael Jackson and Beyonce in the same category?
I can see that.
That's why. It may be that. It may be Michael Jackson.
I mean, the way I would separate them is because of her ballads, though, right, and her vocal abilities. Whereas Mike Jack, yeah, he could sing. He can. We ain't gonna act like he wasn't tearing it down when he was 10 years old.
Yeah.
He been killing that shit. So he was 8 years old damn near out here. But his voice changed, and I don't think that he had that same vocal ability to like have ballads. And whereas Beyonce, she has that range and continues to do so. So I would I would say I like that right there, what you said. It's definitely Mike. There ain't no way Mike ain't right, in the right. Big three. I would have to put Beyonce in there just because she has really carried the throne. And I would like to put a rapper in there. I'm not sure that I would. And shit, it might be James Brown. Just because of his influence on rap. He been rapping since the 60s. He's kind of the precursor for both of them. And so it is a little bit narrow of a big three. I will acknowledge that, as they're all three R&B acts that can dance and really perform their ass off.
No Whitney Houston? I got one y'all both slept on. Oh, what you got? Ray Charles.
Hold on. I was thinking more Stevie.
Hey, I'll go Stevie Wonder before Ray Charles.
I was thinking Stevie.
Hold on. If you look at the length of his career, the different decades he had hits in, the money, bro donated like $80 million to the NAACP in his lifetime. That's amazing. Like, you know how much money and tours like he had to be doing back then? Like, his career is unprecedented. And I've seen Ray a few times, and as a kid, I just like to have Jamie Foxx doing his thing. When I really looked at what they was talking, I was like, oh, he was getting it. Blind, he couldn't even see the dollars, and they just raving.
I guess I'm being biased. I'm more of a Stevie Wonder fan than I am like Ray
Steve.
Charles.
I do like Steve, but I just think Ray Charles, when I look at his numbers, I feel like that alone, and then when I look at the different countries, and like, bro was in Japan, he was all over back in the 60s.
So what's your three, Matt? What's your three?
I'm going to throw Ray Charles in there. I'm going to give it to Michael Jackson. And the third one, like Lee Boy said, I actually was really trying to dig deep and give it to a rapper, but it's tough. It's really
Tupac.
Tough. And Tupac was the first one that came to mind.
Jay-Z?
I can't.
Drake? Jay-Z, Drake?
I think Drake has...
Drake would have the appeal, I guess, if you think of me. But you know what? I'm not mad at Tupac. I'm going to say Drake, and I'm happy you gave that, but I'm not mad at Tupac. I'd accept that.
I think Drake has the ability to get there for sure. We got to see what he's going to do with this Kendrick thing. Once Drake drops some movies and he get back into acting, and I think he already
undermined how big Drake is to somebody 15.
Right. I think he could definitely be in that big three. But right now, Ray Charles, just off these the samples that have been that have derived from his music, off his boom bap style, his dance style, his big band, and his overall, his performance style, had the cape coming out, and he was doing his damn thing, loved by white women too back then. He was crossing color lines.
I what they
had the perm. Like. He was doing his damn thing, man.
I'm loving my super group, Tupac, ooh. Michael Jackson, Beyonce. I'm fucking with that.
With Pac? That's crazy, but yeah, man.
I ain't mad at that. Like I said, people now know Tupac record because white people across the country, if they don't listen to rap now, they know 90s rap. So.
All right, now if you had to throw somebody white in there, just give us one name.
White
Taylor Swift.
Had to be.
I think Taylor Swift is actually acceptable. That's very acceptable.
T Swift. Okay. Let me. I'm
trying to think of somebody older who deserves the record.
Madonna? No Madonna?
Nah, no. I can't put her in there. I would throw
Taylor Swift there.
I ain't gonna lie. I think Madonna actually would be acceptable too. When I think of influence, I think of record sales, I think of record set.
Britney Spears ain't do it long enough.
Yeah, Britney, and she don't remember it either. You know what I mean? Because if she was still rocking, it'd be different. But yeah, I like both of those. I like both of those. I like Madonna, I like Taylor Swift in those spots. I'm surprised that no white men came to mind. Shout out to the ladies.
Cause I ain't got nothing. You want to talk about Elvis freak ass?
I don't know. He stole from Ray Charles. Yeah, I said it.
What you say?
He stole from Ray Charles. Yeah, I said it.
I believe it. What a fucking peanut butter and banana sandwich. Yo, freak ass nigga. What? Peanut butter and what? Who? What the fuck, son? Didn't he down the toilet or something?
That's a wild way to go.
Who? Elvis?
Yeah, I don't know. He died. Yeah. You know that. He was a weirdo. Racist weirdo.
Yeah,
man. I'm fucking with it though.
I don't even got an answer. I was trying to think of somebody. I can't even think of.
Yeah, it ain't one.
Yeah,
yeah,
it ain't one.
Nah, this is like, this is man, awesome. I can't even think of nobody. I like Elton John. I'll say I like Elton. I don't know if I could put him in the big three or somebody like
the white people would accept that. They'd be like, ah, you're getting close.
Phil Collins, I don't know.
Phil Collins, yeah.
That's the closest one. Yeah,
Now we're getting hot. Yeah, we're getting hot. Or not Lion King. What's the whatchamacallit? Tarzan.
Oh yeah, Tarzan. Yeah, hey, we showing our age right there, man. You talking about the animated movie?
Yeah.
Oh, that was lit. Nah, man, Phil Collins. Yeah, they don't have one, bro. I'm gonna keep it a stack. They don't have one, dog. So, yeah. But nah, this is I like my super group. I feel like my super group is the best one. But you know, people listen.
Hey, Pac is a definitely a game changer for sure. But when James Brown step out there, they got to put that cape on his back and he come back to life. And he start hitting that little shuffle. Woo! Hey,
bro was hitting the Power Ranger before.
Yeah, he was doing his damn thing, man.
Well, fellas, man, get out of here. I do got something I want to throw by you. First of all, I want to start with RIP. To O.J. Simpson, as well as Mr. C, two, you know, great pioneers in their industries, respectively. And obviously, you know, Mr. C will rap. I'm not sure exactly what the cause of his death was, but with O.J., I want to lean more into that one because they said he died of cancer. But fellas, I want to know, one, you know, were you surprised to hear about it? And two, do you think O.J. really did it?
No, I mean, R.P. to Mr. C and O.J., am I surprised that he passed away? Not really, because, bro, how old was O.J.?
74.
I'm not trying to sound insensitive. I'm not really surprised when any older person passes away.
Unfortunately. Like,
unfortunately, right. You know what I'm saying? When Bill Russell died, I was like, was you really surprised when Bill Russell passed away? Not saying we were sitting here waiting for him to die, but he was in his 80s, right?
Statistics say you outlived what you were supposed to.
Right, bro. That's right. So, but yeah, and I think he did that shit.
I mean, it's especially too when you play a such a violent sport like football, the life expectancy is definitely down, I believe, for football players. You got so we saw the way he was walking now. When he was walking, he definitely got some injuries, and then you throw in about 10 years in prison. I'm surprised he outlived that he survived that, because that was crazy. Now, do I think he did it? I'm conspiracy theorist. I need y'all out there to look at his son. His son was like a chef, and they said he has some access to some knives and some crazy stuff. And that, you know, OJ might have definitely been covering up for him. And then, you know, obviously we know that the police tried to plant some evidence on here that messed up the whole investigation. You know, they put blood on the sock, and it was blood on both sides of the sock, right? And it was like, how you get blood through the sock? you got the same imprint of blood on both sides of the sock. How does that work? So you got that, and then so he might have been covering up for something. I just need y'all to look into that conspiracy theory. But overall, I know he definitely had some involvement and knew what the hell was going on. Now, we definitely know that, especially since it happened at his house and his wife is cheating and they was already having problems. We know that there was some point of contention there. But I would say do your digging on it, come to your own conclusion. But you know, in the eyes of the law, the man innocent, except for in civil court.
Man, OJ did that shit, man.
I'm happy you said that, Jamal. I just want to throw out a few facts of what we actually know, right? We know that the judge and the jury of his peers said he was innocent. We know that the glove that they showed in court didn't fit. We also know that when OJ played football, the helmets that they wore, like the material was like, you know, a baby booty. So he might have a little CTE. But I say all that to say that from what we know versus what we feel, it's like, I ain't going to lie. You get into a whole huge police chase and, you know, everybody watching Domino's Pizza. It looks bad. I can see how it looks bad. But they said the man was innocent. We got to go with what they said, no?
Man, how many times you did some shit but nobody couldn't prove it?
I mean, that's between me and God. But nah, for real, you're plenty. Plenty.
Oh, man. Exactly. Exactly, bro.
I mean, murder?
OJ.
We had 12 people, and they, you know, they watched and they looked and everything. They was like, all right, 2 plus 2. And yeah, and they was like, nope, not him. He didn't murder her.
What would Johnny Cochran say? If it doesn't fit, it must have quit. All right, bro. That wrong. That was fine. That was cute.
That was a hell of a defense. He was lying, though. Hey, but look, let me break it down for you real quick. There's a new article, 5 reasons why OJ's son, Jason Simpson, was likely involved in the murders of Nicole Brown and Rod Goldman. Number one, Rod Goldman fought for his life. OJ physically was breaking down and didn't have any bruising on him. And plus, OJ would have beat his ass real quick. Two, Jason Simpson had experience assaulting people with deadly weapons. Number three, Jason was off his antipsychotic meds at the time. Number four, let me see here. The physical evidence matches Jason more than OJ, but the LAPD never followed up. They never looked into Jason Simpson. And then number five, Jason has no alibi for the time, and he was upset at Nicole for cheating on his dad and everything that had gone down. So I just need y'all to look at Jason Simpson.
I'm setting up to kill him.
I don't know. He might have been sent there to do it, but I'm just saying.
You ever been mad at somebody enough to kill him?
I ain't never been mad at my father's girlfriend or wife because she cheated on him. What the fuck they got to do with me?
Hey. Maybe he wanted a family. Maybe he thought, you know, it was going to break up his happy home.
OJ had no physical evidence of a scuffle, of nothing. And to kill somebody? It's going to be a fight.
Besides those Jamal Rich kids, there's definitely something that can't take no for an answer, I'm sure.
Yeah, you're right, man. I wouldn't give a fuck if my dad and his girlfriend broke up. We still rich.
That's nonsense to me, but that.
The fuck? Nah, man. OJ did that shit.
If you did it, you know, yeah, you probably there already because you died yesterday or 2 days ago or something like that.
He already there already.
Well, there's no line on weekdays. On the weekends, it'd be packed because, you know, clubs and all that other stuff going on. But on a weekday, man, it's less depth, so you probably could just...
You know how social media is. Hell, just empty.
Yeah, look, put it out there. And OJ hired a criminal defense lawyer for Jason 4 days after the murder, and he wasn't a suspect. So he was already covering for his son for well reason. Why would you hire a lawyer? That's just sounding like... Throwing away money, ain't it?
What we know now is, hey, whoever killed that woman, you know, hopefully they find him one day.
Yeah, he did.
he died
yesterday.
They did it together. I don't, he knew what was going on. Something happened. We know
what happened. What make it worse is OJ was taunting the shit 4 years.
If I did do it, he needed some money, man. Come on, you can't do that to him. He had that civil ruling over his head. He had to pay what, $100 million, something crazy. He was stealing his own memorabilia.
Then, on top of that, he went to jail for like 10 years after that, huh?
Right. Yeah, he did some time.
Yeah, for stealing his own jersey.
He said he was chilling. He was like, you know, everybody was real nice in there. Some people, you know, it was fans, so that was cool. Yeah.
Hey man, shout out to OJ, and shout out to Cuba Gooding Jr. for his excellent depiction of OJ
when that came out. I watched that. I need to rewatch it. I'm gonna rewatch it tonight.
Shout out to Jay-Z for the story of OJ as well. Look, just cause.
Shout out, Mr. C, man, legend, man. Praying for you and your family, dog. Oh, you too, OJ. You know what I'm saying? I guess. Yeah. But this has been episode 130 of 80, 96, 1000 the podcast. Fellas, tell them all your socials, what you got coming up, all that good stuff.
It's still SplatCon. Y'all trying to scam us out, man. But we coming out back bigger and better. If you're hearing this, you're probably seeing a couple all that announcements. We definitely have some people from that cast, more to come. And we got some dope things that will be coming out very soon. I need y'all to go to splatcon.com, use code VIBES10 and VIBES25 to get some discounts on your tickets and also your hotel stay. And on Saturday night, we're going to be having a special event. So make sure you consider LA at Tilton as your place to come and stay in LA. All right.
I'm excited for that.
I'm gonna tell you right now, it's either gonna be a club or a comedy show. It's going down because we're gonna have everybody right there in the hotel and whatever. In fact, we might need to just go ahead and throw a vote. If you listening to this, maybe that will be a poll and in our 80s, 90s, and 2000 vibes. What's the DM chat called again?
Debate Nostalgia with us.
Yeah. Make sure you come Debate Nostalgia with us. We'll throw a little poll up there, see if y'all want to see a comedy show, if y'all want to see have a club night, a Nick at Night type night on Saturday. Ooh. Yeah.
We're Nick at Night. I like that.
I'm in that bitch, man.
Like you said, y'all definitely go support SplatCon, of course. Get your tickets. Make sure you be there October 19th and 20th. Follow me at Real Matt Corbin for sure on all platforms. I recently posted right now. Videos is coming out hot and fresh, Little Caesars pizza style, but much better quality. Yeah, I appreciate you.
Hey, man. As always, follow me on Instagram at Jamar Joseph Jermaine Adams. If you're sensitive, don't follow me. I don't got time for that shit. I hate that. All that just watching and not supporting too. Like, I think everybody has lurkers on that page, which is weird. Like, dog, if you're going to follow me, show some love, man. Support, hit the like button, my nigga. Do something, bro. You know what I'm saying? But follow me on Instagram. Most importantly, follow us on Instagram at 80s, 90s, and 2000s vibe. Same on TikTok, same on X, same on YouTube, same on Threads. Same on Facebook, you feel me? If you follow, if you support us, man, hit that 5-star rating on whatever you listen to this podcast at, hit the 5-star rating, comment, vote in the polls, interact with the episode, with the show. It helps us grow. This is 80s, 90s, and 2005, the podcast. I am Jamar.
I'm Lee Boy.
Matt Corbin.
And we out.
Peace. Yes,